But tonight, we are going to be looking at faith. And when God gave me this message, I was like, okay, we talk about faith all the time. But folks, faith is one of those subjects that you can never overstudy. I mean, how could you overstudy it? We live by faith. So we need to know as much about faith as we possibly can, so there's absolutely no way to overstudy faith. And if you stop and think about it, the more you study faith, the greater and stronger your faith becomes, because we are studying what? The book of faith. This book is all about faith. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And of course, we know that faith is extraordinarily important. Can't be saved without faith, can you? The Bible says that we are saved through grace by faith. So it is extremely important. We also know that it takes faith to live a victorious, overcoming life as a Christian. Now, you may say, well, Brother Greg, that sounds a whole lot like what you preached on this morning. And it is a whole lot like what I preached on this morning. I received some very good, positive feedback from this morning. And I told one of the people, I said, well, tonight wasn't intended to be, but it's kind of a continuation of what we talked about this morning, because everything we talked about this morning has to be by faith. And everything we're going to be talking about tonight is by faith. So faith is so important, and of course in our salvation, it's so important in us living a strong, victorious life. We cannot please God without faith. So we need to know all that we can know about faith. I think everybody here wants to please God. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and doing all the things that you do in His kingdom. So I'm sure we all definitely do want to please God. And without faith, again, we cannot live a victorious life. And I really think we all want to live a victorious life also. Again, we wouldn't do the things we do if we didn't. Now, I'm going to give you two definitions of faith. The one is one that I've used for years, and it's my primary definition. That is that faith is being absolutely persuaded and convinced that God will do what He said He will do. We've got to have that deep down in our hearts. And if you want to simplify that, faith is simply taking God at His word and standing firm on His word and doing what He told us to do, believing that He will do what He said He would do. So we have to have faith, and we know that faith brings great rewards. We mentioned already that it pleases God. Well, what's so important about pleasing God? Well, it's important because that gets us into the favor of God. Now, just like when you have children and they do what you tell them to do, they get into your favor. If they do something they're not supposed to do, they don't get in your favor, do they? When they're disobedient, you don't let them have everything that they'd like to have, and you don't do all the good things for them you'd like to do because they are out of favor. So when we have faith, we get into God's favor. We are also declared righteous before God. And we're going to be looking at Abraham here in just a few moments. And the Bible tells us that it was by his faith that he was declared righteous. Now, somebody mentioned this the other day to me, and I had never thought about this. We know that Abraham was extremely wealthy. We know that he was extremely well blessed by God. We know that he was a friend of God, that God's hand was upon him. But you don't find anywhere in the Bible that Abraham ever sought any of those things. What he sought was God. And then God blessed him with all those other things. And having his faith imputed as righteousness, and Abraham being called righteous. Folks, that is a major thing in our lives. If we want anything, we ought to want righteousness, a right standing with God. And it's going to take faith to do that. Now, we all know about Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. And I tell you, that's a book you ought to study. You ought to study every single person in there. If they made it into the Hall of Fame, you need to know what they did to get there. It's just like if somebody was trying to become a great baseball player, they would study the great players of old and see what they did and how they played and all their techniques and everything. We need to study that book in detail. And every single person in there was a great person of faith. But it's important for us to realize they didn't start out great people of faith. Nobody's born being a strong man or a strong woman of faith. You have to do the things that it takes to get there. They certainly didn't start out that way as far as having an abundance of faith, but they just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. Again, if you look at Abraham, he failed God many times. He even tried to help God out, and we ended up with Ishmael. Ishmael was definitely not an act of faith. Ishmael's still a problem for us today. We're still changing that boy's dirty diapers to this day. But Abraham finally got to the place he is called the father of faith. Now, here's what I want us to understand. Sometimes we have trouble when we see ourselves compared to people in the Bible. And yes, they have set some high standards, but folks, if they did it, we can do it. If God was rewriting the Bible today, rewriting Hebrews chapter 11, we need to ask ourselves, would I fit into Hebrews chapter 11? Could God see me as a champion of faith, somebody that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame of faith? And man, what a high ranking that would be. But every single one of us can get there. You may not be there now, but you can get there. And I'm going to share with you tonight a very important aspect of how faith works. I worded that very carefully, because faith does not work automatically. I used the car illustration this morning. Cars are wonderful vehicles. I don't know how we would ever survive without them in our day and age. People that don't have cars, they really have a disadvantage with everybody else. We can go from here to almost anywhere we want to go within the continental United States, in fact, within the entire Americas, by car in comfort and get there quickly. And it just blows my mind that we can still get in a car and go from here to Florida or from here to California within a 24-hour period. Folks, it used to take them months and years to get there. And I don't know about you, but I really don't want to even think about going from here to California across that desert on a horse and buggy. That does not even seem like a good trip to me whatsoever. I'm very adventurous, but I don't want to do that. But cars are great vehicles. But can you imagine taking somebody out of a remote village, let's say over in Africa, bringing them to the United States and they've never seen a car, and giving them a car? How long would it take them to figure it out how to get into it? And you've got to know that the key goes in the door, and you've got to turn it just to get the door open. And then you've got to know that the key goes in the ignition switch. And you've got to know, on Nancy's it doesn't anymore. Some of you may have the new electronic ones where you just push a button and it starts. But the old time cars, let's put it that way. You've got to put the key in the ignition switch. You've got to know to turn that key, and it starts. Then you've got to know to put your foot on the brake and pull down on the gear shift, or the gear shift's not going anywhere. Now, there's a whole lot of things you have to know. But once you learn all of that about a car and you drive it enough, you get to where you do it unconsciously. I'm sure there's not a one of us that will take our keys tonight when we go out to our vehicle and go, okay, first thing I have to do is put this in the door. We've done it for so long, we just grab the keys and don't even think about it, don't we? Put it in the ignition, turn it, put it in drive or reverse, whatever we need to do, and take off. Well, folks, faith is an amazing vehicle. But it doesn't just happen automatically. It is a vehicle that we have to learn every aspect about it that we possibly can. One of the biggest things about faith that we have to understand is that faith works by love. If we don't have love in our heart, faith isn't going to work for us. If we have bitter or resentment in our heart, faith is not going to work for us. And that's a different message that God's kind of been dealing with me on. But we have to have love for our faith to work. And we have to do the things we talked about this morning. Confessing the Word, out loud confessing the Word of God, meditating upon it day and night, and acting on it by faith. Well, tonight, like I said, I want to look at one more very, very, very important aspect of how faith works. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 4. I am thoroughly enjoying my study of Romans as we go through it. I hope you are. I'm learning a lot of new stuff. It's amazing. And we can study the Bible our entire life, and the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge just gets greater and greater and deeper and deeper and deeper as we go. I've seen things in the book of Romans that I've never seen before, and I've probably studied Romans as much as I have anything. In Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 16, says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to all, or to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now I want to stop right there for a second. It is of faith. Again, everything we're going to be talking about here is of faith that it might be by grace. In other words, we don't do anything to deserve God's grace, His goodness and His kindness. And it says that the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's one thing I like about God's Word. It is level playing field. God's promises are just as true to us as they were to the apostles. Just as true to us as they were to Billy Graham. Every single one of us are on level playing ground. We can get just as close to God as we want to get. We can be just as spiritual as we want to be. We can have just as much faith as we want to have. Because it's sure to every single one of us. We all have the same Bible. God didn't give me one Bible and give you a different Bible. He didn't hide things from me or hide things from you. It's all right there. He goes on and says, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now listen to verse 17. And this is where God is talking about Abraham. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and who calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, according to the promise, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now the thing I want us to look at tonight, a very important factor in making faith work, is that you have to call those things which be not as though they were. And that sounds strange to us, but that is a strong biblical fact. We're going to look at it here in detail in just a moment. It goes right along with what Hebrews 11:1 says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we can already see it, if we can already do it on our own, folks, it doesn't take faith to get it. We have to exercise our faith in the things that we cannot do. Or otherwise it doesn't take faith. It doesn't require faith. But it's in Hebrews 11:1 there says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Going back to Romans, we must call the things that be not as though they were, or otherwise it does not, or it is not. Let me put it that way. We have to call the things that be not as though they were, or otherwise it is not faith. Now, it is not just mainly saying words. Now, I talked this morning that our words are very, very important. But we have to have faith-filled words. Again, that's why we need to talk what the Bible says about our different situations. And we're going to be looking at that here in just a moment. But we have to get to the point that we call the things that be not as though they were. When God made us a promise, we have to act on that promise. And we have to call it just like God sees it. I've used this illustration before, but it's such a good illustration of faith. This little girl came into her dad one day, and it was on a Saturday, he was at home, and she said, Daddy, would you build me a dollhouse? He said, well, yeah, I'll do that for you. And he went back to reading his paper, because she left. He didn't know, what was going on. His wife came in a few minutes and said, what is going on out in the backyard? Well, I don't know. I'm just sitting here reading my paper. So, what is going on? He said, well, her name was Emily, said, Emily has every doll she has in the backyard. What did you tell her? He said, well, I told her I was going to build her a dollhouse. She's expecting me to build the dollhouse. She was calling things that were not as though they were, wasn't she? I wonder if she got her dollhouse. You betcha she did. I'm sure her dad dropped that newspaper, probably went to the lumber yard right then if he needed to, and started building her dollhouse because she was calling things that weren't as though they were. So that is a very, very important aspect. That is what Abraham did. Of course, at the time that God made the promise to Abraham, he wasn't Abraham. He was Abram. And God told him that he was going to be the father of many nations. Now, when God made that promise to Abram, how old was Abram? 75. How many kids had he had up until that point? Zero. How many children had Sarah received before that point? Zero. I mean, even back when they were young and should have been having children, her womb was just as dead could be. It was zero. And his body was now dead, her womb was still dead, and they had had zero up to this point. But God called Abram Abraham. Now stop and think about that, folks. Calling those things that be not as though they were. Abram had zero kids. His wife had never been able to conceive, even back in her youth. But God said, you are going to be the father of many nations. And to prove it to you, you are no longer going to be called Abram, but you are going to be called Abraham. God was calling things that be not as though they were, because the word Abraham means what? The father of many nations. And of course we know the rest of that story. We know that Isaac was born. And all we have to do is look around us, and folks, the Jewish nation is huge. It's massive. It covers the entire earth. And beyond that, every single person that's a believer is after the seed of Abraham by faith. So the seed of Abraham, the family of Abraham, he is definitely the father of many nations. So how do we activate our faith? In fact, let me go back to one thing before I move on. At the time that God made that promise to Abraham, there was no evidence whatsoever. You know, it wasn't like God made that promise to Abraham and he looked over at Sarah and said, hey, something's different about her now. It wasn't like he felt this zap of energy in his own body. There was no evidence. There was no sign that it was ever going to be different. Abraham based everything he did on a promise from God. Folks, we got a lot of promises from God that we need to be acting on. So let's see how we activate our faith in this. First thing we have to do, to decide what we are going to believe, what we are going to look at. I used a lot of different illustrations this morning about our kids and our marriage and about finances and about jobs and about schooling and all those different things. Whatever your biggest concern is right now, are you looking at the situation or are you looking at the promise of God? God has made you promises concerning every single one of those situations. But we have to ask ourselves, what am I looking at? We need to be looking at the promises of God. We need to be believing what God said in His Word. And again, going back to what we talked about this morning, we need to be saying what God says in His Word. His Word needs to be constantly coming out of our mouth. And again, we talked about it, but I want to reiterate it. You get it to come out of your mouth by putting it into your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I promise you, if you spend enough time in this Word, it's going to start coming out. It may, your quote, spiritual faith tank might be kind of empty right now, but if you stand at the gas station and you're putting gas in your car, you may be on empty when you get there, but if you stand there long enough and hold that nozzle in there, and you keep putting gas in, keep putting gas in, and keep putting gas in, guess what's going to eventually come out of that tank if you don't quit? Gas. If we keep putting faith in and keep putting the Word in, keep putting the faith in, keep putting the Word in, the Word of faith is going to come out. And so we have to be speaking the Word, and we have to be believing what God said. Now let me take one example. We used this one this morning. Talking about on the finances. When the checkbook is empty, and all of the bills are sitting there, and you might be 2 or 3 months behind on a bill, what is your response to that? Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. You know, it's good to come to church and it's good to hear a message on faith, but what really happens in our life? If we're in that situation, what happens? What is our response? Well, we're going to have basically one of three different responses. If we're not people of faith, if we're not believing what God said, then the first thing that we're going to start saying is, I have no clue what we're going to do. I have no idea how we're going to get out of this mess we're in. I don't hear any faith at all in that, do you? The second response is a much better response. We can say, well, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm a tither, and I believe your word, and when you said that you shall supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, I believe that you're going to do that. Now, that's a whole lot better response than the first response. But even a better response than that, and this is when you can tell that you're really getting your faith up to the point that it should be. Even with the checkbook empty, even with all of the bills there that need to be paid, you break out into praise. And you say, God, I know, according to your word, you are going to meet my needs. You promised you would. And Father, I'm calling the things that be not as though they were. I am calling these bills paid according to your word, because you said you will meet my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the best response. The first response had no faith. The second response had some faith. But folks, we want to be full of faith. And we want to be calling the things that be not as though they were. Now, one other important thing, from that point on, you cannot consider the deadness of your checkbook. You can't say any negative things about your checkbook ever again, because it's no longer an empty checkbook. It's a checkbook full of faith. It's a checkbook that you've already given it to God. You said, I'm a tither and I believe your word in God. I am looking for you to meet my needs. You can't look at the circumstances. You've got to keep your eyes and your focus on God. Remember Peter, when he got out of the boat? He was walking across the top of the water. I don't know about you. That would take faith. I've tried it several times. Every time I've just went straight down. That takes a lot of faith. And Peter was actually walking across the water. He was doing something totally humanly impossible until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he began to sink. He started looking at the circumstances. Folks, the circumstances will let you sink every single time. Have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And that's where being consumed with the Word is so important. It keeps your eyes focused upon God and upon Jesus and upon the promises of God. So that is so important. We must stand completely upon the Word of God and believe God's Word. Now, I want to share something with you very important here. Before you start saying anything out of your mouth, make sure that you have scriptures to back up what you're saying. You know, a lot of times people will say things that sound good, but they're really not in the Bible. We need to do our homework, and we need to dig into the Word of God, and we need to find out the will of God on our circumstances, whether it's, again, finances, whether it's family, whether it's kids, whether it's jobs, whatever it is. We need to find out God's will, because we cannot release faith until we know what the will of God is. Because the faith is based upon knowing God's will, knowing what God said about that circumstance and that situation. So don't be lazy. Do your homework. This is way too important. to be lazy. And once you have the promise from God, then you can start calling those things that be not as though they were. Because all you're really doing is saying, okay, the circumstances over here, I understand they're there. We're not saying they're not real. But what's more real is what God said. God's word is truth. This may be the fact. The truth can change the facts. I've seen that happen time after time after time, and I'm sure many of you have as well. And that's all we're really saying, is make sure that we keep the word of God, the promises of God, coming out of our mouth and saying what God says about the situation, not what we would like to say. You know, the Bible tells us that Abraham was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith because he believed God. Well, folks, we have to do the same thing. Unbelief will rob you every single time of your promise from God if you let it. Remember when Jesus went to Nazareth? Jesus, the Son of God, went to Nazareth and he left there saying, I couldn't do hardly anything because of their unbelief. Satan can rob our promises if we don't have belief. If we let unbelief sink in and creep in, it can rob those promises. Again, that's reason enough right there that we stay in the Word. We have to choose to believe that God will keep His promises. Now, a lot of times we look at our own ability. Folks, our own ability is so limited. But God's ability is not limited at all. He can do the most miraculous things and never break a sweat. We need to be relying upon His ability. And that's why we need to stand on His promises and trust His word and trust His ability. And start believing and acting on every single thing that He's told us in His Word. If we're going to live a victorious life, folks, we have to have our hearts full of faith. We have to do the things that God's Word tells us to do. We have to start looking, not at the circumstances, but at God's promises and putting that Word in our heart and putting it in and putting it in and putting it in. Until we might even be in the most impossible of situations, like Abraham and Sarah were. But we don't look at that. We're so full of faith that we say, God, humanly I see that there's no way for this to happen. But I'm not looking at it from a human standpoint. I'm looking at it through eyes of faith. You said that you would meet this need and you would take care of it, and I believe you. And I'm going to start acting like it's already taken care of. And I'm going to, if you have to kind of change the name of the situation. Abram went from Abram to Abraham. We may have to go from calling it a checkbook to calling it a blessed book. I don't know, whatever you have to do. And like I said this morning, even if your kids are the most unruly kids in the world, always getting in trouble, you can't seem to control them, they're blessed. We have to call them blessed, even if they're not. Even if they're not, we have to call them blessed. We have to call them blessed of God because God's Word says, call the things that be not as though they were. Folks, what we say is so critically important because it's based upon God's Word, which brings out the faith that we need. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, I come before you and I thank you so much for all of the examples and illustrations in your word about faith. Of course, there could be none any greater than Abraham, who was a father of faith. But we know early in his life, Father, that he was not the father of faith, that he was weak in faith, and that he didn't completely trust you and believe you. But we also see, Father, that at one point in his life, he got full of faith, where he staggered not at the promises of God, even though they look completely impossible. And he called those things which be not as though they were, and based upon his faith and based upon his confession, You brought those things to pass. And Father, I know that You are no respecter of persons, and if we will simply follow the formula that You've set forth in Your Word, You will be more than happy to do the same thing for us today. I just pray that You would give us a renewed passion for Your Word, that we would saturate ourselves with the Word of God through reading and through listening to preaching on the radio and on the TV and on the internet and on our iPods and everywhere we go, that we would literally be saturated with the Word of God, so the Word would start coming out of our mouths and we would start speaking the Word and meditating on the Word and acting on the Word. And yes, we can even get to the point that we call those things that be not as though they were, and we can watch You do the miraculous in our lives. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.